Call the roll, please.
Mr. Chair, and pursuant to Agenda Item 1A, Commissioner Mackay Ali is participating remotely pursuant to Government Code Section 54953B. excuse me. As allowed by law and which does not require commission approval. As noticed on the agenda, Commissioner Ali is participating remotely from Compton Unified School District, which is fully accessible and can accommodate testimony from members of the public. He may participate by speakerphone. The law requires us to confirm whether any members of the public are at the location. Commissioner Ali, have you joined the meeting? Commissioner Ali? Mr. Chair, we will check in momentarily with Commissioner Ali to see if he is there. Your next item is the Pledge of Allegiance.
All right. Well, the person is able to stand. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Item three is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, I have a few announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda for today's meeting was posted to the LAFCO website on Wednesday, December 3rd, at the Hall of Administration here on Thursday, December 4th, and at the teleconference location at the Compton Unified School District at 501 South Santa Fe Avenue, Compton, California, 90221 on Wednesday, December 3rd. The agenda and public hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock p.m. on the business day preceding today's meeting. Councils reviewed the agenda and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, we would ask that you do so and state your last name so that we can record it in the minutes. Because there is a commissioner participating remotely, all votes today will require a roll call vote. Item four is for the audience here in the room today and from any members of the public who may be accessing the meeting remotely. We have arranged for members of the public to provide verbal testimony during today's meeting. As is your commission's practice, each individual speaker is allowed to speak for up to 3 minutes for each agenda item, including public comment. To the members of the public calling into today's meeting, and should you wish to speak before the commission, we will ask you to identify yourself in the agenda item to which you are speaking. For any member of the public who plans to testify before the commission today, including those who may be at the teleconference location, now is the time for you to be sworn in. If you plan to speak today or may speak today, we would ask that you raise your right hand. And in the testimony that you may give before this commission, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Item five is public comment. This is the first opportunity for members of the public, including those at the teleconference or otherwise joining remotely, to address the commission on any items. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. And before I ask for that, please note that anyone who wants to speak on an item on the agenda, we will call for you when that agenda item comes up. Does any member of the public wish to be heard under public comment? Okay, hearing none. Commissioner Ali, have you joined the meeting? Commissioner Ali?
Yes, I'm in the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Lee. Is there any member of the public besides you at your location?
No, and the meeting was properly posted pursuant to the Brown Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee. Mr. Chair, your next item is the consent agenda. It includes agenda items 6A through 6H. The staff recommends the commission adopt one motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All right. Please call the roll on item 6.
Commissioner Finley? Commissioner Padilla? Commissioner Ali?
Present.
Commissioner Ali, we're voting on item 6.
Yes, aye.
For the clerk, Commissioner Ali will not be voting because Commissioners Deer and Lewis are here.
Sorry about that.
My apologies for the confusion.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish? Commissioner Rusanka?
Aye.
Chair Deer?
Yes.
And yeah, can you please call Commissioner Lewis?
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, so that item is passed. We're now on item 7, public.
And LAFCO Senior Analyst Doug Dorado will present agenda item 7A. Mr. Chair and Commission, after his presentation, there are members of the public who hear and wish to be heard on it.
But there are several people here.
Yeah, and when they're done, I would ask, I wanted to make some follow-up comments at that time.
Okay, we'll do the report first.
Morning, Commissioners. Agenda item 7A is reorganization number 2024-08 to the City of Lancaster in consideration of the Environmental Impact Report as a responsible agency. This proposed reorganization consists of 7,163.75 acres of inhabited territory, which includes annexation of Area 1 to the City of Lancaster, annexation of Area 2 to the Antelope Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District, annexation of Area 3 to Los Angeles County Waterworks District Number 40, Antelope Valley, and annexation of Area 4, Parcel 1 and Area 5, Parcel 2, to the Los Angeles County Sanitation District Number 14 of Los Angeles County. The affected territory is generally located north of the intersection of State Route 14 and West Avenue G, adjacent to the City of Lancaster. The affected territory for each of the four proposed annexations is within their respective sphere of influences. The affected territory consists of mostly vacant land with scattered residential and industrial uses, along with a wastewater reclamation plant. A portion of the affected territory is proposed to be developed to include a 2 million square foot distribution facility. On November 4th, 2025, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors adopted the property tax transfer resolution on behalf of Los Angeles County Sanitation District Number 14 of Los Angeles County, pursuant to Revenue and Tax Code 99.1A4. All other involved agencies have adopted the necessary property tax transfer resolution. Proper notice was published and posted online. In addition to the required notice, the City of Lancaster mailed LAFCO's notice to all of the landowners within the affected territory, the landowners within 300 feet of the affected territory, registered voters within the affected territory, and registered voters within 300 feet of the affected territory. Staff did not receive any significant comments from landowners, registered voters, or any public agencies, but did receive comments from the Center for Biological Diversity, in which they are against the reorganization and have requested the commission to disapprove reorganization number 2024-08 to the City of Lancaster. That letter was emailed to info@lalafco.org yesterday at 2:11 p.m. The executive officer forwarded the correspondence to all the commissioners, and a hard copy was provided to you today. Your staff report includes the proper determinations for the proposed reorganization. The California Environmental Quality Act clearance is an environmental impact report certified by the City of Lancaster as lead agency on October 14, 2025. Staff recommends that the commission open the public hearing and receive testimony on the reorganization, there being no further testimony, close the public hearing, and there being no written opposition submitted by the landowners or registered voters within the affected territory before the conclusion of this hearing on the proposal, waive the protest proceedings pursuant to Government Code Section 56663 and adopt the resolution making determinations, including the California Environmental Quality Act determinations, approving and ordering the reorganization number 2024-08 to the City of Lancaster, annexation of Area 1 to the City of Lancaster, Area 2 to the Antelope Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District, Area 3 to the Los Angeles County Waterworks District, Number 40, Antelope Valley, and Area 4, Parcel 1, and Area 5, Parcel 2, to the Los Angeles County Sanitation District Number 14 of Los Angeles County.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this time? We have several people, about nine speakers. Eight of them indicated they favor. One did not indicate either way. I'll introduce them in the order I received these. And the first three people will be in this order. And the first name, I mean, I have difficulty with this. It looks like it's Bess A. Urso. I hope it's right. You want to read that?
Rachel Basurto.
The second name is Amy Smith, and the third is Allison Burns. Those are the first three speakers to give you a heads up, and we'll have the. So, okay.
Mr. Chair, clarifying that you are opening the public hearing, correct?
I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Yes, I am opening the public hearing. Thank you very much for that point. Would you please give us your correct name, sir?
Hello, my name is Veto Basuto. I'm sorry if I didn't write it correctly on the freezer. I write too fast. I need to learn how to slow it down.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. So my name is Veto Basuto. I am with the Anchor Church. Our ministry is happy to support a project like this. This anxious into the City of Lancaster will be a huge boost to the City of Lancaster. It will open up employment opportunities to the community as well as helping the city to grow more and thrive. These benefits and contributions are amazing, will be a long-lasting benefits, and deserve our support. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next is Amy Smith, be followed by Allison Burns, and then Jason Baez. So, Amy Smith.
Good morning. My name is Amy Smith, and I'm a representative of Creed Los Angeles. We're here today to show our strong support of this annexation and the development plans for this land. This annexation and subsequent development projects will bring hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs and major economic boosts to the area and the City of Lancaster and Southern California as a whole, in both the short term and the long term. The well-thought-out plans of this project is a testament to positive and thoughtful development practices, and the City of Lancaster needs and deserves all of that. Please say yes to this annexation so that Lancaster can reap the many benefits that it will bring. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Next, we'll have Allison Burns, followed by Jason Baez, and then Ernesto. Whoever it is, I can't read it, but we'll run with Allison Burns.
Good morning. Allison Burns, City Attorney for the City of Lancaster. I'm here primarily to answer any questions you may have, particularly with regard to the submission by the Center for Biological Diversity yesterday. In short, that submission, though lengthy, is a repackaging of issues raised before the City of Lancaster, fully considered and responded to either in the final environmental impact report or in the response to comments considered by the City of Lancaster City Council on October 14th, 2025. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have regarding the issues raised by Center for Biological Diversity, and I thank you for your time.
Do you have any questions? Yes, go ahead.
Actually, I have a question as well.
Question here, and then there'd be a second.
Should we wait for public comments done, or should we start? Because I have a couple questions to dig into this.
It's a question for that specific speaker, you could take it now.
Yeah. Okay. I know the complaint here references a lot of GHG concerns and what have you in terms of the complaint that's filed. Were there any mitigating circumstances within the EIR that would address actually this GHG concern?
Yes, so there are several things that are responded to in the EIR regarding GHG in particular. The urban sprawl issue, which is one of the GHG issues, it's important to remember that the pre-zoning for these properties is as identical as possible as one can be when comparing county code to City of Lancaster code. There are no changes in uses. These uses that are proposed would be permitted under the county's code now. It's just a change in what governmental entity has land use control. So there is no change in there's no change in whether there will or will not be sprawl.
Okay.
And therefore will or not be greenhouse gas emission increases. So that has been fully addressed and there is no change there.
Okay. And regarding the biological concerns relative to the owls or whatever, and I just read this, you know, this dump came like, you know.
A fair characterization of this at all.
And it's a pretty hefty dump, but I get these things. In terms of like the biological concerns of the owls and so forth, I'm assuming the EIR
fully addressed. Yes, all of the flora and fauna were addressed in the final EIR.
Okay, great. That concludes my questions.
I had a question here.
I also had the question about the biological survey, so that answers that. But I also had more of a administrative question regarding the lawsuit that was filed.
Yes.
And the disposition. Whether or not that's going to have an impact on the decision that we make today?
So that lawsuit is pending. So there was a lawsuit challenging the adoption of the final EIR. That case was just filed, and we are set for a settlement conference next week among the parties that we are hopeful will be successful.
Mr. Chair, if I may, the position historically from our attorneys, and I think this has happened on at least one or two other occasions, is that we typically, LAFCO, almost always are relying, you usually are acting as a responsible agency, relying upon an environmental document adopted by another entity. That's probably 98% of the applications you receive. The position of our attorneys has always been that unless and until that environmental action is undone, it remains valid. So unless and until a court were to decide that it's not valid, it remains valid. And we have, your commission has in the past acted and made decisions based upon that premise.
I concur with that in terms of these seems to be extremely vetted. It looks like you went through a draft EIR and final EIR. It's in the state clearinghouse. It's gone through all this sort of steps or whatever, and we really can't step in at this point, especially when all the agencies have already done their proper due diligence on that. So just to confer, just makes common sense for us to not decide on let the courts do what they're going to do, and we just move forward as determined by the staff.
But we are making our independent evaluation of the project. I mean, we're just not relying on that. We've independently evaluated this.
Right.
Good. Were you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It says there are multiple owners of land on record. The real party of interest of the proposed 2 million square foot distribution facility is North Point Development. Is that causing angst for anyone up there? Or is this located in such an area that it doesn't really matter?
The best way I can answer that is to say that I want to address the notice, because we did what I call double notice.
Okay.
The way LAFCO law reads is if there is more than 1,000 parties who are to receive notice, all you need to do is post an 8th-page ad in the newspaper. You don't have to mail out notices. What we chose to do is our normal, we did an 8th-page ad in the Daily Journal, which is an LA area-based newspaper. We also ran an 8th-page ad in the Antelope Valley Press. That satisfied all legal requirements for notice. In addition to that, and there were about 1,400 parties to receive notices when you counted registered voters and landowners, that notice was also mailed to all of those folks. We had about a dozen or so phone calls. They were really inquiries, questions, what is this? Why am I getting this notice? What's happening? We did not sense any opposition from any of those inquiries until the letter yesterday was received from CBD.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, let's go on to the next speaker, which was, Jason?
Yes, sir. Honorable Commission, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. Jason Baez with Laborers International Union of North America, here to fully support this project moving forward. You know, living in the Antelope Valley is a wonderful life, and it's a great place to raise children, but the commute has always been a struggle, and it's always omitted a great deal of time spent with the family. Approving this project would afford us so much more time to bond with our families and have a positive influence on our children, which of course will be a positive influence on the community. Furthermore, there are a tremendous amount of young people in the Palmdale and Lancaster area that are looking for career opportunities. This project would afford them a solid, excellent career in union construction that will be long-term and afford them the ability to buy their own land plot, buy a home, and establish a family of their own. Furthermore, in the future, way down the line, when this beautiful job hub center is established, it'll open up the door for hundreds of job opportunities for management, sales, clerical, technician positions, accounting, and then of course, the lighter jobs like logistics and maintenance, which are sought after by many young people that want to utilize those as stepping stones into the career field. And then of course, others who have particular physical conditions that can only handle light workloads. For this and so many more reasons, I implore you to approve this environmental impact and push this wonderful opportunity forward. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. Next we have Ernesto, then Toria, and then Jose Pedillo, Rodrigo, I mean, sorry, mispronounced the name. But we have Ernesto. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Chair Deer and Commissioners. My name is Ernesto Pantoja. I'm here on behalf of Sergio Rascon and Business Manager of Laborers Local 300. We are the Laborers Local that covers the Antelope Valley. A lot of our members moved to the Antelope Valley in the 90s and the early 2000s because of the affordability, the ability to buy a home, property, and build. So we do have over 1,000 members between the city of Lancaster and Palmdale itself. As my brother Jason said, one of the reasons why we're supporting this annexation is we've worked tirelessly over the years to develop jobs in those areas so that our members don't have to drive from the Antelope Valley all the way to the LA Basin, make traffic worse, as Jason said, lose time, right? Lose time with their families. And what a lot of people don't realize is the building trades unions, they give opportunities to veterans returning from service, whose skill sets don't necessarily translate to civilian life, females, we're all trying to build our female groups, but the other one is formerly incarcerated. And for, believe it or not, we do have a lot of members that come into the union who are formerly incarcerated, where their last chance of hope to be able to build a career, raise a family, buy a home. A lot of them, believe it or not, come out and go straight to Palmdale and Lancaster. So to be able to give them the opportunity that these projects will have in the future once the property is annexed and North Point's able to build their facility and we'll have more construction, you're going to give an opportunity to people who are looking for a second chance. And as we know within the apprenticeship programs that we all have within the building trades, That's a starting point, but it's a hard point to get through. So like we even have a lot of those formerly incarcerated that end up homeless within the apprenticeship program because they're not at that journey level yet. They're not making the wages they need, and it's expensive to live in the city of Los Angeles and surrounding areas. So to be able to have this opportunity in Lancaster, it's gonna help our members grow and it's gonna help reduce crime at the same time. So we ask you and we urge you to please support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Jose Rodillo, to be followed by Dwight Scott.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for this grand opportunity to speak. My name is Jose Rodillo and I am a proud member of La Una. Like my brother Ernesto mentioned, this project will give so many of our members a second chance. 23 years ago, I was afforded that second chance with the apprenticeship program that La Una offers. I took that opportunity, and 23 years I'm standing right here, and I took that opportunity, and it will give so many that same opportunity that it gave me. These type of jobs will help break the cycle of disadvantage, help break the cycle of recidivism, especially with the training that our apprenticeship school provides. It will give them a good way out of that, breaking that system of recidivism. I fully support this project. Please consider approving this project. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we have Dwight Scott, to be followed by Brenda Campos.
Morning. Thank you, Commissioners. My name's Dwight Scott. I'm one of nearly 7,000 members of Smart Local 105, the Sheet Metal Workers. And we're here today in support of this project. And the city of Lancaster, we know, will benefit. Many of our members, their families, labor as a whole, will benefit from this. This project will strengthen the opportunities for so many people up in this area and the city as a whole. So, you know, because of this potential development, our families and the families involved will have health care, fair wages, and a brighter future on account of it. And we urge you to support this project. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Brenda Campos, and I'm here today to support the annexation. This is the first step in creating so many good paying job opportunities and help grow the city of Lancaster. And what an amazing first step is this. I want to see positive development through the Southern California, and this is a good example of that. I am so excited for the city to boost our economy and the community. Please vote yes today. Thank you so much and have a nice day.
Thank you. And next we'll have Kathleen Luna, to be followed by Samuel Nieto.
Hi, good morning. My name is Kathleen Luna, and I'm speaking today to show support of this annexation. I think this will be a huge positive impact on Lancaster. We need more plans like this that bring positive development to the area and will boost our economy. And I think it's great that there will be new employment opportunities in both the short term and the long term. And the creation of hundreds of jobs will boost the economy and the community in general. Overall, I really think this is good for everyone involved and will be a huge asset to the area. I've been to Lancaster, and I really think they could use more development, you know? Like, some members of my family live there, and, well, not everything is as close to them. So yeah, I feel like more projects like this could really help the city and the community in general. So please vote yes and support it. Thank you. Have a nice one.
Thank you. Samuel Nieto.
Good morning. My name is Samuel Nieto, and I'm here to voice my support for this annexation. Lancaster has the potential to become a major city by bringing industry, jobs, and housing. People move where the jobs are, and this project could create a lot of opportunities for families. Growing California positively, good paying jobs, and a stronger economy is important to me. It's important to all the union guys behind me, and it should be important for you guys too. So please vote yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this matter?
And is there any member of the public who may be accessing the meeting remotely who wishes to be heard on agenda item number 7A, which is annexation number 20, excuse me, reorganization number 2024-08 to the City of Lancaster? Are any of the speakers who are on the call wish to be heard on agenda item 7A?
If not, all right, we'll close the hearing and then, or shall we vote first on the matter?
Commissioner, discussion, I had a few comments I wanted to make.
And vote if there's your desire to do so.
Can y'all hear me all right?
Hello, is there someone online who wanted to be heard?
Sorry about that. I think I was wrongfully muted on my end. Can you hear me all right?
We can hear you. Can you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, Harrison Beck on behalf of the Center for Biological Diversity.
Go ahead, Mr. Beck. And please know, as indicated in the record, the commission has received copies of your correspondence and attachments.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the opportunity to provide public comment today on reorganization number 2024-08 regarding the City of Lancaster's recent annexation application. As I noted, I'm here on behalf of the center. The center is a statewide and national environmental nonprofit with a long history of advocacy regarding the preservation of wildlife and habitat in the desert portions of Los Angeles County. The center submitted comments several times throughout the CEQA process underlying the city's annexation application and recently filed a lawsuit challenging the city's EIR for this project. The center submitted these comments, as you noted yesterday, to the commission and attached everything, all those comments in the petition with that, and warned this commission that the EIR on which this annexation application relies violates CEQA. As explained in those comments and in the CEQA petition, this project would transform a largely undeveloped area into a gridlocked network of industrial warehouses, and in so doing, exacerbate air quality issues in a region that is already in non-attainment with federal Clean Air Act standards. It would also prevent the city from complying with its climate action plan and permanently damage irreplaceable and ecologically significant habitat areas. And as noted in those comments into the attached petition, the city failed to mandate feasible and commonplace mitigation measures to reduce the project's air quality and greenhouse gas impacts and its impacts on biological resources. And in addition, I would also like to note that the project would deviate from this commission's mandate to avoid sprawl development. The residential housing proposed as part of this project would be located on the opposite side of the annexation area from where Lancaster's existing housing and developed areas are located. So for these reasons and for the reasons identified in our comments and petition, we urge the commission to reject this application pending the city's compliance with CEQA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. Is there anyone else on the line who wishes to be heard on agenda item 7A?
Go ahead.
I have a question for...
Please. Mr. Beck, I believe there's a question for you from one of our commissioners.
Thank you.
Are we unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry, this is Harrison. I'm unmuted. Thank you.
So we're obviously not a court, and the legality of it will be determined in the courts. But we've heard from a lot of people here that that this would lead to them being able to stay in their communities and not having mega commutes. I was always under the impression that having these mega commutes, so assuming people would have to go from Lancaster to LA or to other places, that was bad for the environment and as a result, bad for biodiversity. What are your thoughts on that?
A few things, you know, just off the cuff. This project would involve thousands of heavy duty diesel truck trips on an annual basis in this area. The particulate and greenhouse gas emissions from those trucks would far exceed the local commutes involved for the workers. So that's on the air quality point. And on the biological resources point, the city hasn't done sufficient surveys on this project. It surveyed only a small portion of the annexation area. And even in that small portion that it did survey, it found a significant amount of rare species and habitat. And had it done surveys throughout the rest of the annexation area, the parts of the annexation area that abut the Antelope Valley significant ecological area, I believe it's called, and the Paiute Ponds area, it likely would have found an even greater concentration of rare and sensitive habitat and species. And so these are things that we could and should be mitigating for. And so
that's CEQA, that's a lawsuit, and we'll let the the courts decide that. But you know, I will note that the we hear from people who are getting second chances and have the opportunity, you know, to live and work in their own communities. We're hearing about their quality of life, and yes, all of it is important. I would hope that when it comes to heavy vehicle equipment, that new cleaner air qualities are being developed so that they can be used. But anyway, thank you. That's my.
Thank you for your comments.
And I have a comment too, just to follow up with that. I totally agree with you on that. And really through the mitigation, there's different ways of actually addressing some of those concerns, which we don't have actually access to. And so that should be actually determined between the city and the courts to come up with appropriate mitigation. So I'm in complete agreement with you, Commissioner.
Your Chair, Commissioner Padilla had a comment or question.
Yes, I want to address the representative from City of Lancaster. You know, I just want to say, well, to start off, congratulations on being able to put together your new Northern Lancaster Industrial Specific Plan. I know those things are always a lot of work, but you know, just also hearing from those who came to speak, and then also the one individual that called in, my district, the City of Los Angeles, has an industrial zone, a lot of industrial jobs in the San Fernando Valley. And we've created some new land use rules, particularly called Clean Up, Green Up. And it's a policy that is working with the existing businesses so that as they renew their permits, it creates a system where we do have a conversation with them as well as the community to make sure that in the future there's more mitigation so that there's a balance between industry and community. So just kind of wanted to put it on your radar. There is definitely some businesses who have directly told me that they are more interested in moving into the industrial, into the Antelope Valley because of what we've done in the San Fernando Valley and parts of Los Angeles. So just wanted to put it on your radar as something that maybe you can look into so that as I support this and I'm actually not to vote today, but I did want to say, you know, it's a good way to start so that as this space develops, you can already, you know, work with the businesses that are interested in coming in and also finding a balance with your constituents.
Thank you so much. I'll make sure to share that with the city and its staff.
Comments or questions?
Hey, good morning.
Yes, is there another speaker who wishes to be heard online?
Yes, good morning.
Could you please identify yourself?
Hello, my name is Paul Moreno, and I'm a representative, president, business agent of Iron Workers Local 433. And we are here today to support the West Side annexation. This annexation will create local community engagement and will hire from the local skilled workforce. This means that our members will earn fair wages, receive health benefits, and will be able to provide a good life and stable future for our families. We are proud to support this annexation and ask you to say yes when voting today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I believe there is one more speaker online who wanted to be heard on this item. Could you identify yourself, please? I don't, that may
be. Hi, John Condis here.
Please go ahead. State your name again, please.
Thank you. I was getting unmuted. John Condis, and I'm representing North Point Development. I'm an attorney with Alan Mankins, and North Point Development is one of the landowners of the property to be annexed into the city, and of course North Point supports the annexation. The Center for Biological Diversity letter does not raise any arguments which warrant denial of the annexation. The letter focuses on the impacts of the project analyzed rather than the factors that are to be addressed by LAFCO, namely factors relating to a change in governmental organization. The staff report does an excellent job summarizing the issues associated with the annexation. As a starting point, the big picture policy decision regarding the annexation already has been made. LAFCO and the city previously have established this property to be in the city's sphere of influence. And so this is just the next step implementing that policy. Secondly, you know, this is a very deferential judicial standard for annexations. They only are to be set aside if there's fraud or prejudicial abuse of discretion, which of course is not present here. It's questionable whether Center for Biological Diversity even has standing to oppose the annexation. We've heard from a lot of residents in the area that support the annexation, and there's really been no evidence presented that how CBD has the nexus or connection between this decision and themselves. And then the service provision, basically, this is kind of reiterating and extending what Ms. Burns said. The service provision with the annexation is essentially identical to what is in existence today. That's shown in subpoint B on pages 5 and 6 of the staff report. There's no conflict with commission policies on urban development and urban sprawl. It's a logical and reasonable extension of city boundaries. That's obviously reflected as well in the sphere of influence approval. And there's really not an intensification. There's not going to be an increase in urban sprawl. To the contrary, there'll be likely be a decrease in urban sprawl. If you have more jobs, it will engender and ensure that there's a healthy jobs housing balance. It will allow people to commute less long distances, which will reduce VMT, vehicle miles traveled, and vehicular emissions. And then the discussion about environmental justice raised by CBD is also misplaced. For LAFCO, environmental justice only is to address the issues on public services and public facilities provision. And clearly that's been done. And finally, has been discussed by others from a CEQA standpoint, the EIR is adequate. The CBD is just merely rehashed prior arguments. And as was stated by the staff, CEQA requires that the responsible agency must assume that the EIR is legally adequate. If anyone has any particular questions about the EIR analysis, I'm more than happy to address that. But frankly, at this point,
I was up, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your input.
Yeah. Miguel Dagger, County Council. I just, you know, wanted to reiterate that we just received, you know, this 100+ page letter and the 1,047 page EIR required a re-review of that. And I didn't start looking at it till 6:30 this morning. So it is within the admittedly the EIR seems very comprehensive. But we have not had adequate time to to really analyze this, and it is within the commissions, if they desire to continue this, they do have discretion to continue this at least for 70 days, probably even longer. And you know, despite the comments that were just made, you know, you can rely on the EIR, but as a responsible party, I wanted to point out that you are making an independent analysis of the factors and the mitigation, and that's what's legally required, and that's I believe what was done. So just reminding you that you have the option, that there is a lawsuit pending. There's a I guess there's a settlement conference next week. I didn't know about that. There is a status conference or a trial setting conference on January 7th, which is in a few weeks. So
we can put this to bed today, can't we?
Yes, you can put this to bed if you feel. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that you do have the option to continue.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a point of order and question. Given this late filing of the CEQA documents, the fact that it does have a significant or at least an impact on the development of this community, I'm just wondering, is there a pressing need? Do we need to have our staff give an analysis of this and make a report back to us before we actually make a final determination? That's my question and point of order.
Mr. Chair, if I may, we conferred yesterday afternoon, both with our attorneys and also with the CEQA expert in the County Council's office. And just to reiterate what Mr. Dagger said, the commission is free to do whatever it chooses to do. You could take an action today to approve the project, to deny the project, or continue it. Nothing has changed that. I mentioned before the precedent that until there is some action to invalidate a CEQA action, it remains valid. A few other points that I think are very important to make. The two attorneys, I think the one from the city attorney's office and North Point's attorney, pointed out something, but I want to elaborate on it, which is that The zoning designations that the city is adopting are very, very similar to what the current county zoning designations are, which are also industrial. And that was based upon the Antelope Valley Area Plan, which, unlike a lot of plans at the county, is a relatively recent plan and was approved by the Board of Supervisors, I want to say within the past 5 to 10 years, which also had a full EIR. So there was an EIR that the county did to address the impacts of any industrial development, and now you have an EIR that the city has done. I looked extensively at particularly the letter and also the attachments, but my impression of it was that most of what is in there is really focused on the land use and zoning and general plan issues, which frankly are within the jurisdiction of the city of Lancaster. What's before you today is really these four annexations. And in terms of these four annexations, one of the conditions that we had with the city when the city filed this is we said, look, you're proposing these annexations to other districts. We want to be sure that they're in support. Those other three districts have all provided us documentation. So that's the Antelope Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District, County Sanitation District number 14, and Waterworks District number 40. I did want to just take a few moments to address a couple things, because in the letter there were two or three comments that really were what I would call LAFCO specific. And the first one had to do with essentially saying that this was not within the interest of present or future habitants within the district and within the territory proposed to be annexed. We disagree with that. We stated in this, Doug staff report stated that we believe these annexations are in the interest of the residents. It would allow current and future residents to avail themselves of city rather than county services. And it would also allow the parties currently within those boundaries to annex themselves of services from the water district, the wastewater treatment, the vector control district that they currently would not receive. The second comment was basically a contention that you can't approve this because one of your missions is to prevent urban sprawl. It is certainly true that one of LAFCO's purposes, and this is in the very first section of the act, is that the act is to discourage urban sprawl. But interestingly, what the act actually says in that section is, among the purposes of the commission are discouraging urban sprawl, preserving open space and prime ag lands, encouraging the efficient provision of government services, and encouraging the orderly formation and development of local agencies based upon local conditions and circumstances. We believe when we prepared the staff report that it does that. And so I wanted to make the point that there's some selectivity that is going on in terms of which sections of the law are being cited. The last comment that really relates to the specific LAFCO comments, it had to do with environmental justice. It claims that the EIR failed to adequately adjust those impacts. Separate and apart from the assertions with which, frankly, staff does not agree, the extension of services from the city and these three special districts to the involved communities is arguably providing a service which would not otherwise be provided, and in that regard advances the concept of environmental justice. And lastly, because I think it's sort of the 800-pound gorilla of the CBD's comments, has to do with sprawl. So I want to talk about this particular area and what it entails. Clearly, this is not West LA. This is not the San Fernando Valley. This is not South LA. This is the Antelope Valley. But if you look at this particular affected territory, it's bisected by the Antelope Valley 14 freeway, as well as a major north-south, the major north-south highway in the Antelope Valley, which is Sierra Highway. It's bisected by four significant major roadways east and west. It actually includes the Lancaster sewage treatment plant. So it's about as close as you can be to a sewage treatment plant as possible. It's adjacent to the city of Lancaster. It's a half mile from County Sanitation District 14. It's a contiguous to the Vector Control District, and it's adjacent to Waterworks District 40. In terms of services, it's 2 to 3 miles from City Hall and the LA County Sheriff's Station, which would provide law enforcement in the area. And it's about 2 miles south is the nearest fire station. So we don't find by those standards that this meets the definition of sprawl. And if you look at the size of Lancaster and the three involved districts, it seems like a big number because the acreage is big, but when you compare it to the size of these three agencies, all of whom have said they have the ability to provide services. In fact, when it relates to water, which is probably our most significant concern, the County Board of Supervisors adopted a water supply assessment, which essentially said there's adequate water supply. So we have not seen anything new in the letter from CBD that would incline us to change our recommendation. And we firmly believe, based upon all of the evidence that's been provided to us, that the environmental impacts and concerns that they've addressed in their letter were previously raised with Lancaster and addressed in their final EIR. So I just wanted to provide you with those additional comments before you deliberate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments.
Can we make a motion to approve item 7A?
All right. A motion to approve by Commissioner Lee. Who seconds it?
Second.
Okay. Seconded by...
By what's her name?
Commissioner Finley.
I've only been here 20 years, right? Mr. Chairman, I hate to be a stickler for points of order, but don't we need to close the public hearing? And the proper procedure would be then to ask for commissioner comments and proceed to a motion?
Do that if you'd like to do that. I know you like to talk, so we'll give you that chance. I will declare the hearing closed and open the floor to people in the audience up here. That would be the commissioners, all the commissioners, if they have comments to make. But if they don't have comments, that's okay too. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for accepting my point of order there. I apologize for being a stickler for procedure, because we do have attorneys present.
We want to do things correctly. Go ahead.
But anyway, I do like to thank the briefing by our executive officer that sincerely laid the groundwork for the decision this commission is going to make, in keeping with our instrument of operation as designated by the state legislature. So therefore, I thank you, and I'd like to thank all of you for attending and making the trip downtown. I've made trips up to Lancaster numerous times in my past. I used to be a field engineer, and I did do some work on the airbase up there. So thank you for making the trip and providing input to this commission. And our public and those involved are always open. That's my comments, and I'll wait for the call for the roll.
Okay, other comments for anyone? All right, Commissioner Lee, you're making the motion.
Make a motion.
And Commissioner Finley, you're seconding the motion, right?
Yes, but I think a motion can be made and then discussion can be had after the motion's been made.
Can we do that?
Right.
That is correct. That is basic Robert rule
right.
Order that you have discussion so, before and after motions.
Well, we're not going to force a vote until people have a chance to speak.
Right. Right. But that's why it was okay to go ahead and make the motion before discussion began, I think.
It sets up to the governing body per the rules, Robert's rules of order.
Right.
How we ever want to do that.
What I pulled up here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I have been involved in bodies that have both discussion before, you know, open discussion before motions are made, and then discussions pro and for the actual motion.
That's the chair's point of view. We encourage discussion, neither whether it be before or after a motion, to give people opportunity for free speech. We now have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, please call the roll of the motion.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McKellum?
Absolutely yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Rezonka?
Aye.
Chair Deer?
Yes. And the motion is passed. Congratulations to everyone involved. Thank you. We'll take the applause. We always accept applause. Thank you, gentlemen. And ladies?
Mr. Chair, your next item on the agenda is agenda item 9A. And please note that this is an opportunity for comments. And there's the landowner requesting the item is online.
All right. Well,
this is recommendation to deny a fee reduction request for a proposed annexation to Sanitation District Number 22 of Los Angeles County. And Taylor, if you could move up the slides to the maps, please. The applicant owns, this is a map of County Sanitation District Number 22. The applicant owns a 2.7 acre property in the city of Bradbury. You can see the outline there. It includes an existing single family home, as well as a single family home that is under construction.
The current filing fee for LAFCO to annex this property into sanitation district number 22 is $5,750. The applicant is requesting that the commission reduce this fee, reduce the filing fee by $3,240 so that he would be paying a filing fee of $2,500, which is what your filing fee is that was in effect in 2022. The applicant has provided an email which documents that he experienced several delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic, contractor availability issues, material shortages, and severe cost escalations, and a copy of that was provided to you. Now, to waive or reduce a filing fee, state law requires that your commission, quote, determine that payment would be detrimental to the public interest, end quote. Staff is recommending that the commission deny the requested fee reduction for the following reasons. Although both LAFCO and the sanitation districts allow an applicant to submit a proposal at any time, and independent of the scheduling for design, permitting, and construction of the home, the applicant never submitted an application to the county sanitation districts nor to LAFCO. So because the landowner failed to file the applications with either agency, we believe that any hardship is a self-imposed hardship. Secondly, many landowners have experienced delays associated with the COVID pandemic, material shortages, and contractor availability. The delays which the applicant experienced, and not to minimize those, but they are, in our opinion, indistinguishable from delays encountered by other parties. And all of those other parties have paid their requisite fees to the County Sanitation District and to LAFCO. You may also recall that your commission raised filing fees in 2023 to cover the documented costs for staff to process applications. Were you to reduce this filing fee as requested, the cost for your staff to review and process this application is essentially borne by all those others who pay the full filing fees. Since adopting your fee waiver policy in 2011, you have granted 4 separate fee waivers, and all of those were with a staff recommendation and support. This is the first case where we are recommending denial, and we believe that the alleged hardship described is inconsistent with previous fee waiver requests which your commission has granted. Given the foregoing, we believe that the commission cannot meet the state mandate that this and determine that the payment would be detrimental to the public interest. Staff therefore recommends that you determine that the fee reduction request is not in the public interest and deny the fee reduction request. And that concludes my staff report. As I mentioned, Victor De Los Santos, who is the property owner, is available online and may wish to speak.
All right, Mr. De Los Santos, are you online and do you wish to speak? No response.
Victor, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Okay.
We can hear you. Go ahead. Yes.
Hi, I'm Victor De Los Santos, and thank you for reconsidering this. Yes, I've had so many obstacles, and fortunately, we've overcome it. And one of the obstacles we've had, the challenges, was with my contractors. And along with, I guess, like everybody else, with the COVID-19 pandemic, escalation of prices. But I was, one, shocked. We went from 4,800 to 8,000. But I just wanted to express this because the hardship we've had, but fortunately, I've overcome so many of them. That's why I at least wanted to present this to you, if it is possible, to do the adjustment costs. Again, I mean, just right now, an example of an obstacle, my neighbor, with the fire and the winds that we had, sued me for all the dirt. He claimed that the ash and dirt went to his property. And fortunately, I won. I mean, that was an act of God. These are just an example of some of the obstacles I've had to overcome. So then when I saw this of 8,000, that's why I just thought I would present it to you, and hopefully you could consider it. Thank you.
Well, why is it doubled almost?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. What did you say?
It doubled from 4,000 to 8,000. That's quite a change.
Your, to be fair, your fees went up substantially in 2023. They had not been raised in 17 years. I will take the blame for, 15 of those, because it's something I probably should have addressed earlier. But please know that when we did that, we spent, and I'm not exaggerating when I say tens or even hundreds of hours,
We looked at every single application we processed. We had everybody estimate the time they spent on it. We then took all of that, took their burden labor rates. We're not making money off filing fees. We really aren't. It's essentially a 100% cost recovery. What we also, what your commission also did at our recommendation was you considered those increase in filing fees in January and February of 2023, and then you had sort of a grace period. They didn't take effect until July 1. We received about twice the volume of annual applications that we receive in the next 4 months. So I think you have done everything that you can. I understand people may object to the filing fees. They are a cost, but they are the cost to recover basically our staff time on this. And I would add that were this an individual who had applied to the Sand District or to us or both, I might feel differently, but there is never, this has never been presented to us until very recently.
Go ahead.
Yes. One of the issues there was with the contractors who I thought had applied for all of this. And those are some of the things that challenges I had to go through again with the contractor. And I was so upset and I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? He goes, well, and to this date, it still boggles my mind, of 4,000 to 8,000, it's doubled. But I was under the impression that it was done. And I find out now that it's not. So that's why I just really, hopefully you could review this and adjust it. I mean, we all have fees, everything, but everything is just piled up. I mean, you go to a taco place, it doesn't make much to make a nacho burrito or nacho, but yet it's all at $18. It costs them a dollar to make it, but they're able to get away with all this stuff ever since COVID-19. Everything has just been inflated unnecessarily. And it costs all of us money. And yes, I understand you have your fees, but this is almost double.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Margaret, and then over here.
So help me with this, Paul. When was this application filed?
We have not received an application for an annexation. We received this request to reduce the fee. So no application has been filed with the County Sanitation District and no application has been filed with LAFCO. Your fee reduction or waiver policy basically says if somebody wants a fee reduced or waived, they can simply write in a letter requesting it, which is what we explained to Mr. De Los Santos and he submitted the email that he submitted.
Well, this is why you're receiving this now, because I thought it was submitted.
Understood. But to clarify for the record, an application has not been received by us. We confirm that the County Sanitation District, that they have not received an application as well.
Well, that's a problem. We thought it was done. My engineer is the one that found it. And for example, right now my water meter just got completed after all these years. My water meter just got installed last month.
Okay, we have
so many delays.
Two commissioners want to speak. Go ahead.
And then thank you.
My apologies.
All right, go ahead.
This is just me. I would approve the request if he commits to sending in the application. I would be okay with it. This case. I understand.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I understand this is, you know, this seems to be a hardship case, and I wouldn't consider it to be a precedent. That's just me.
Okay, here, and then you'd be next.
Just a clarification from staff. This is a homeowner. Is their property actually under the jurisdiction of the agency that's now providing the sanitation services?
The property does not have sanitation. It's on a septic tank. They would propose to annex into County Sanitation District number 22, which would allow them to have connect to the sewer system and have municipal sewage treated.
But the question is, they presently are not annexed into the.
That is correct. They have not filed an application to annex into the district. They are asking you
to reduce the fee to do so.
Okay, so the, which of course is.
So we had thought it was.
Responsibility.
I'm sorry, say it again, Commissioner.
The property owner's responsibility when they apply for this service.
That is correct.
Just a clarification I wanted.
All right, we have another commissioner wishes to speak. Go ahead.
Just two items. I do feel for the individual in terms of the cost and the fees, but we haven't received anything as of yet. That issue is really with the contractor and their lack of due diligence to do the proper work that was required to filing at the time. For us to basically now subsidize, because as Paul said, these fees basically cover our cost for quite a bit of work, it's kind of a gift of funds, so to speak. So I don't know how we could actually even do this. I don't know what the hardship, there's no issues of this hardship that's even explained in this document. It just says it's a high fee.
I mean, I think to keep in mind the question of hardship or impacts is really distinct from the finding that state law requires you to make. You are required to determine that it would not be, that it would be detrimental to the public interest for this person to pay the full fee. That's really the standard that is applied to the commission.
Could I
was going to concur with that statement. That it's,
sir, we don't have time for you to keep on speaking. You used your time.
I think
his comment should be done. You know, it has to be the public interest, not a private hardship. So I don't even think there's any basis to even consider this.
Okay, that's the attorney's point of view. We appreciate that. Now, you have, Margaret, do you have something?
Well, it would appear to me if those contractors have made a mistake, they're the ones that ought to bear this burden, not the public.
Good point. Anything else?
Yes, go ahead.
One last comment. I just wanted to make sure that we're keeping in mind future requests for fee waivers as well, because we can't continually consider individual hardship requests of this nature if it doesn't have to do with the public interest.
Okay, is there a motion?
So moved, McCallum.
All right, he makes a motion to move the recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Margaret Finley makes a second to the motion. Any further discussion? See, we're discussing again, because we can do that, right, Margaret? Okay, if not, please call the roll on the motion.
Before you call the roll, I just want to be clarified.
To make sure we understand what we're talking about, we are approving the recommendation of staff on this matter.
So therefore, we are approving the recommendation to deny the fee reduction.
Right.
Thank you.
That is correct.
All right, call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis? Aye. Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Rusanka?
Aye.
Chair Deer?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, agenda item 9B is position salary ranges. Staff is requesting that the commission revise the existing salary ranges for LAFCO employees. It has been nearly 4 years since you last approved the current salary ranges. We conducted a survey of five other LAFCOs, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, Santa Clara, and Ventura. And as documented in your written staff report, the salaries of other LAFCOs have increased significantly. And the high end of their respective salary ranges is beyond the high end of our existing salary ranges. We would anticipate that these new proposed salary ranges would be sufficient for the next 3 to 5 years. And in the past, it's been about 3.5 to 4 years that we've sort of come back for these revisions. To provide flexibility over this period of time, we used the high end of the ranges for the other LAFCOs and added a 10% inflation factor. Separately, we are proposing that you consolidate the local government analyst and GIS technician positions. The existing ranges are functionally pretty similar, and over the past several years, two GIS technicians have transitioned into the local government analyst position. The proposed salary ranges would enable LAFCO to attract and retain competent professionals and qualified staff. Staff recommends that the commission approve the position salary ranges as outlined in your staff report.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
A second? Anyone? I'll second it then. It's been made and seconded to approve the staff recommendation on the salaries. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I would really prefer to table this, honestly. I would love to understand exactly from the county's perspective in terms of how they are governing these types of fees? I mean, this is actually LAFCO to LAFCO, but I'm assuming their respective counties have actually determined both categories, which is also being a request to change that as well, and also in terms of fees, because some of these are actually quite high for us to sort of approve at this point without any additional advisement from the county supervisor. So I would actually like to move for it to be tabled until the next meeting.
Is there a second to the motion to table?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, there's no objection from the maker of the original motion or the seconder, which is me. No objection. We will table it to the next meeting as you request.
We will remind the supervisors that it would be appropriate for them to be here for the next meeting to discuss the item. Thank you.
Okay.
Does that require a vote, Miguel, to continue it? Okay, he said no. Okay.
All right. Item C.
Item 9C has to do with your commission meeting schedule for next year. We've reviewed the proposed meeting schedule against scheduled federal and state holidays, as well as established religious holidays. We're doing pretty well for 11 meetings, but we have a problem with the November meeting. Your November meeting, your regular meeting, is the second Tuesday of the month. Next year, that's November 11th, which is Veterans Day. So clearly you can't meet on that day. We suggest, it's entirely up to you, but that you move that meeting out 1 week, from Wednesday, November 11th to Wednesday, November 18th. So again, all of the other dates are your standard dates, but we're looking for some direction from the commission concerning the November meeting date, and that you direct us accordingly so we can publish a schedule.
Sorry, will a facility be available on the 18th?
If we're not in this room, a room would be available on the 19th. We're certain of that.
Okay, we'll find out then. All right, is there a motion to make that change the calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Margaret, okay. Any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Rezonka?
Aye.
Chair Deer?
Yes, and that change is made pending the availability of the location. Okay, we'll go on to item 10.
Commissioner's report.
A commissioner's report. Any commissioners have reports to make? Okay, item 12.
Deputy Executive Officer Adrian Aroma and I have two quick items. I'll take the first. Yesterday's Alliance of LAFCO's meeting, which is the four Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, and San Diego. Representatives of those four LAFCOs selected a lobbyist to represent our interests before the legislature in the 25-26 legislative session. And that is consistent with the previous financial commitment that your board had already approved. The Alliance also considered reports on a spring workshop and a UC Berkeley working group proposal to amend LAFCO law concerning commission-initiated annexations, MSR outreach, and mutual water companies. We'd like to thank Commissioner Finley for joining us for the meeting yesterday. Adriana.
Good morning, commissioners. Now, we had a request for proposals for joint audit services between the LAFCOs from Orange, San Diego, San Bernardino, and ourselves. And the RFP period closed on December 3rd, and we had three responsive bids, and we're forming a committee to evaluate them after the first of the year. We're looking to have the executive officer on that committee to review those, and one commissioner from this commission as well. So if anyone would like to volunteer to review those proposals, it will be a virtual meeting after January 1st to consider those proposals and bring a recommendation back to the commission sometime early next year.
I'll volunteer.
Thank you.
Objection, you're the one.
That concludes our executive officer's report.
Question?
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed the meeting yesterday. In terms of them hiring a lobbyist, how, in terms of the position that the Alliance would make versus CalLAFCO, how would that, is there some conversation in terms of coordinating lobbying efforts to that there's a sort of joint effort to,
I will share with you that I was the person who was tasked with finding someone. My first conversation was with Cal Lafco's lobbyist. I have a good relationship with her. She does good work. We've worked very closely on several bills over the past few years. She made three recommendations. We interviewed those three firms, and the Alliance selected one of the three. There was a strong feeling, at least of me, and I was concerned that people would object to it. They did not, that we want to be certain that whatever positions the Alliance would be taking, we're not deliberately or unintentionally undermining Cal Lafco's positions and vice versa.
Yeah.
Those three lobbyists all work very closely on other things with this lobbyist. So, you know, not that we are bound to take the same positions, but I would certainly hate for our representative and their representative to be speaking at cross purposes if we could avoid it.
Yeah.
So that was intentional and deliberate and seemed to be supported by everybody who was on the call yesterday.
Great. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, let's press on. That takes care of that category. Is there any public comment?
Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard under the last public comment?
Okay, our next meeting is January 13th. Is that correct?
14th.
Oh, yeah. It was unclear. Okay. January 14th. Thank you very much.
And on behalf of staff, this is our very rare December meeting. I wanted to wish all commissioners a happy holiday, happy New Year's. We look forward to seeing you in January.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice holiday.
It's done.